And so, I don't know, maybe 2 o'clock this morning, I'm praying in my sleep about tonight. I had not run out of information because I have my computer. And if I have that or my Bible, I'm never without anything to say. But I want to say what God wants me to say. Amen. Every text preached is not of God. Just because you open the Bible and read a passage and begin to expound on it does not mean God gave you that. Amen. And we have to be that sensitive to what the Spirit of God is doing. Not the church culture. You know, not your ethnicity as a Christian. Amen. But what the Spirit of God is doing. And for some of us, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, you know, it's like a magic wand or mystical or poker scat of it. You know, the Spirit of God. Or they see somebody get filled with the Spirit in church, and first thing that comes to their mind is she crazy? Is he crazy? Because they don't recognize the manifestation of the presence of God, and they have no anticipation of experiencing him. Because it's all about their rote Bible study lesson that oftentimes is not right in the first place. The title don't match the passage. The illustrations that are used don't match the passage. The theme that they're taking don't match the passage. And so they read the text and move right away from it, never to return back to it. And so that's not God's intentions for his people. God intends for his people to grow, to mature, to develop, to depend on him, to trust him. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Not part of it, not some of it, but what? All. And then he says, lean not to your what? See, our understanding that's not vetted by the Spirit of God will get us in trouble. Because we really don't understand as much as we claim we what? Understand. And it's interesting, the moment we begin to get challenged, you know, that failed understanding start coming forth. And now, all of a sudden, we can't hear nothing that's being said. And that's because we're insecure by our lack of what? Understanding. Now, the Bible says, whatever you get what? Get understanding. And so tonight, what we want to get is somewhat understanding tonight. And so about 2 o'clock this morning, whatever, the Lord laid on my heart 3 points tonight concerning the pastoral ministry as leader. And actually, the pastor is not the leader of the church as much as he's the principal follower of the church. But he's not following the people. See? And a lot of churches, they want the pastor to follow them. No, he's not following the people. Why would the pastor follow people who are wayward? Why would the pastor follow people who lack understanding? Amen. Why would a pastor follow people who don't pray consistently or who don't study consistently, where there's no evidence that the Lord is ministering through that life? People say, well, you know, Dr. Baylor don't listen. Well, my administrative assistant would come and say, that's not true. He listens to every word you say because he's listening for whether the Spirit is speaking through you. Now, when he don't sense the Spirit speaking, then he walks away. Because the Spirit is not what? Speaking. See, I don't hear a word coming from. I don't hear devotional life coming. I don't hear that they've been meditating in the Word that week. I don't hear that. And so when I don't hear that, then I shut my ears what? Down. Because I don't want all that garbage in my ears. I got enough garbage of my own, and I don't want your garbage. See, my middle name is not Hefty Bag. Yeah. My mama didn't name me Johnny Hefty Bag Baylor Jr. So I'm not a hefty bag, nor am I a trash can. So I don't want all of your garbage in my ears. Now, this wouldn't be an issue if you didn't claim to be a believer. See, once you claim to be a believer, then I'm anticipating hearing God speak through you. See? And if you say you're a believer and I can't hear where you're touching God, then the Bible says light does not fellowship with darkness. Come on, talk to me now. And John the Apostle was very hard on that. You read through that little letter in 1 John. John says, don't worry about the folk who leave the church. They left because they were never a part of it. And they broke fellowship because they lacked what? Understanding. Them folk told John they never sinned. John said, you're lying, the truth ain't in you if you say you have not committed what? Sin. Then they went on and said, not only have I not committed sin, they went on and said, I ain't never sinned. Are you with me so far? Guess what John did? Stopped talking to him and kicked him out of the what? Church. Now, first century church ran that way. When you joined the church in the first century, it took 2 years before they invested you as a full member. The first year, you were proving and learning all of the devotional principles and practices. They called it the kneeling season. What do you do in the kneeling season? You spend time what? In prayer. So you had to pray for a whole year before they even considered whether you were a candidate to be a part of the body. See, in Western culture, anybody that walked through the door and you opened up the door to the church and they walked down the aisle, you can't assume that the Spirit drew them. See? Their situation might have brought them in. And they heard that when you get in trouble, go to the where? They don't want Christ, but they want the what? Because they need the rent paid or the lights turned on or food for their children. And because the church is not getting a lot of activity, when they see somebody come through the door, they get excited. So they run and receive a devil. Now, because the church is immature, that devil comes in and sits right in the middle of two immature believers, and the new believer then takes over the older believers. And that's easy to happen because those who are there lack what? Understanding. See? Lack understanding. And so when you have a minister or a senior pastor who's struggling to try to get the church to grow, when he sees someone new, he's going to get excited too. And he's hoping that that person is going to commit to the things of God. Are you with me so far? Now watch this now. When someone new comes in, if you understand what's happening, you don't even let them get to the pastor. You make them prove themselves before they get to the pastor. Are you with me so far? But you know, that can't happen because normally when new folk come in, the old folk give it to new folk and then they turn on the who? Pastor. They fight against the who? Pastor. So tonight what I want to do is show you that if you understand who the pastor is and respond to the pastor according to the will of God, you'll never go without. You'll never go. Yeah. Now, you can't be Baptist on this teaching because this is going to mess you up. Because in the Baptist church, deacons run the pastor, or trustees do. See? So if you're Baptist, you're going to miss this. See? You're going to miss this. See? But if you're biblical, you're going to see it. If you're biblical, you're going to catch it. See, vision is to be caught, not what? Taught. Are you with me so far? Now, if I brought her and allowed her to tell you what God does in her life, in the lives of the people where I minister, because they take care of me. See, They take care of me. They don't let me fly coach when I leave to go somewhere. They're not, listen, when somebody invites me, it's really the person, people who invite me's responsibility to take care of me, right? But my church is like this. We ain't trusting nobody to take care of you. You ours. Okay? And we want you to fly first class because we want you to be what? Comfortable and well-rested when you come back to us. We don't want you up in there with all them cattle waiting to the fifth group boards and you sitting in the back of the plane in the middle seat with no room and you can't sleep, you can't do nothing. Pastor, we don't want you coming back to us tired. We want you to come back to us fresh and ready to minister, because when you minister, our lives what? Change. And so tonight we want to do that. And so I want to draw your attention to a passage of scripture in Jeremiah. And tonight we're going to look at the pastor's worth. We're going to look at the pastor's work. And then we're going to look at God's will. Now, when you learn his worth and his work, then that helps you when you're sitting before a pastor to discern whether that's your pastor. Because every pastor can't be your pastor. Come on. See, your issues are tailored for the gift of the pastor that God calls to you. And his gifts will match your circumstances. His gifts will match your situation. Pastor Hood asked me today, he said, what do you do good? What's the one thing you do good? And I said to him, I said, I don't want to sound arrogant. I said, but my ministry is comprehensive. I do everything. But that's the kind of church I have. I have a church that's, I got a high-minded church. You know, I'm not the only person in church with a doctorate degree. I got high-profile lawyers and high-profile doctors. I got educators in the church. So I have to be a well-equipped minister in order to reach that kind of people group, because they already think they're smarter than everybody else. So God sent them someone who is rough around the edges, but is brilliant. And I use my rough around the edges to get on their nerves, but they can't compete with my mind. See, they can't compete with my what? Mind. Why? Because I'm moving in the mind of who? Christ. See, now the mind of Christ is just not for the pastor. See, you can operate in the mind of who? Christ. Are you with me so far? So let's do this. Let's start in Jeremiah, because we want to set some historical context. Yes, and the reason why we want to start in Jeremiah, because historically you have to remember that God established the priesthood. Okay? So Old Testament people of God weren't introduced to the idea of a pastor or a shepherd first. It was a priesthood. Right. Are you with me? They had priests. Aaron the high priest. Aaron's sons were priests. And then there was a priesthood called the what? The Levitical what? Priesthood. Right. Now God established in that context the care of those who minister the word of God. Now, what you need to understand is God ministered to the man before he ministered to the ministry. Are you with me so far? In other words, the man comes before the ministry does. See, we got it backwards. We want to put everything in the ministry and don't put nothing in the man. But God put it in the man first. Watch this. And he dressed them. They had on tailor-made investments. They wore the best of material. They had the most expensive thread that put those pieces, the material together. They wore jewelry. They had diamonds and gold in their chest plates. They were immaculate in their dress. They were attractive. In other words, you shouldn't send your preacher to the pulpit with no roughed up shoes. People come here and see that he's half dressed. They don't want to stay because he's not representing anything. You want to dress your preacher. God took care of the preacher before he took care of the people's problems. God took care of the who? Before he took care of the people's what? Because he's going to use the preacher to handle the people's what? Okay. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 3. And we're going to start reading in verse 10. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version Bible. And we'll look at the interlinear and the New King James Version and the King James Version as we move along tonight. But I want to read the English Standard Version to make sure that you know, we get a kind of a gist of what God is talking about historically. So historically, Jeremiah is dealing with a nation that moved away from God. Okay? And by this time, the priesthood is contaminated. They're moving in false prophecy. Or I'll say it another way. They weren't false prophets as much as they prophesied falsely. There's a difference in a false prophet and then some person that prophesies what? Falsely. Okay? Now, we have that today. We have preachers who are gifted, but they're not preaching truth. Now, listen to them very closely. They're not sitting down writing a sermon on purpose to mislead people. They just lack what? Understanding. See? They lack what? Understanding. And then a lot of us have never been exposed to real training. Okay? Real teaching. There's a scientific method for studying the Word of God. The Holy Ghost just don't give it to you like that. You ain't open up your mouth and he's going to speak through you. That ain't happening. See, that's not happening. In the Old Testament, they had a school for prophets. So school has always been at the forefront of what God is doing. But in the black church, if you go to school, they say you ain't been called. You got learning, but you ain't got no burning. All that silly stuff. And they say that because they don't know what? Nothing. Are you with me so far? Now, I'm not bashing. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm telling the what? I'm telling the truth. See? And this is why we lack what? Understanding. See? We lack what? Understanding. So now we want to grab and hold on to what sounds good. See? So we have a group of people now that want to put, you know, they want to put chains on the preacher. He shouldn't have said that. Why? He's telling the what? So a young lady and my young girl, teenager in the church where I pastored, and hadn't been in the ministry maybe in there 6-7 years, she got pregnant. And she was about 17 years old. And I stood up and said, if I hear one person saying anything about her having this baby out of wedlock, you're going to have a problem with me. We're not going to bring her in front of the church, and we ain't going to embarrass her. And she ain't going to come out of the choir. She's going to be up there with a big stomach singing. That's what's going to happen up in here. Because Jesus ain't never put nobody out because they had a discretion in their lives. Now, here you are with your sinful self going to sit somebody down because they had a discretion in their lives. Now, if they're not going to be repentant about the discretion, then we have to kind of, work with it a little bit. But if they're repentant, then you want others to see restoration. Because Christianity is about what? Restoration. We don't have the power to judge anybody for anything. As a matter of fact, if you look hard enough in your family, you got a homosexual in there, you know. You got some nieces that had babies out of wedlock, and you have some nephews that don't take care of the babies that they got. Come on, talk to me, somebody. So while you're talking about somebody else's family, you need to talk about your what? Own. Maybe your brother, maybe your sister, maybe even your mother had a baby out of wedlock. Are you with me so far? I was born out of wedlock. My mother had me. I was born out of wedlock. I was conceived in New York City, 235 West 126th Street, right around the corner from the Apollo Theater, 1955, 1954. I was conceived then, out of wedlock. Two young parents, daddy young, mama young. As a matter of fact, daddy tell you that I was born, if he was alive still, he said when I was born, he was full of cocaine. High when I was born. Amen. December 21st, 1955. But I travel all over the world and I preach the gospel. All over the world, preaching the what? And I was born out of what? So you have to be careful who you point your finger. Because the person you point your finger at might be the same person God is raising up to sound out in your ears, truth that will radically change your what? Life. Are you with me? So let's read Jeremiah. Starting in verse 10, yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah did not return to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, declares the Lord. So the Lord has a problem with Judah and Israel. And God says everything they're doing is from pretentiousness. You know, they're going to church, they're going to the temple, they're bringing their sacrifices, and they're doing it pretentiously. And the Lord says, their hearts are not in this. You know, they're not really loving me the way they're supposed to. See? And he called them what? Treacherous. Now, God used some tough language, doesn't he? He said they were treacherous. Now, if I had said somebody was treacherous since I've been here, they would say, oh, you're rough around the edges. You don't call God rough around the edges? God don't give nobody a pass. He called it what it what? Is. He calls it right on out. Are you with me so far? So it says, and the Lord said to me, faithless Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous who? Judah. Now, you know what the issue is? Judah is the tribe of praise. Wow. Judah is the lineage where Jesus was coming from. Wow. And God says to Judah, you don't even look like the Messiah coming through you. Israel has always had a problem worshiping me. And right through here, they look better than you look.
Wow. Okay.
They look better than you. Watch what God goes on to say. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say. So obviously he's talking to Jeremiah. He says, go tell them some stuff. Let's see what he says. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, faithless who?
Israel.
Return. Return, declares the Lord. I will not look on you in anger. Look at that. For I am merciful. I will not be angry forever. I'm a little mad now, but it ain't going to last a long time. Now, we're going to find out why it's not going to last a long time in a few moments. He says, I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt that you rebelled against the Lord, your God, and scattered your favors among foreigners under every green tree. In other words, he said, basically saying you're worshiping all the wrong things and all the favor that's on your life. You're taking everything I've done for you and you're giving it to somebody else. You're not doing with what I'm doing for you what I want you to do with it so you can continue to receive what I'm doing. You're taking minds and calling it yours and doing what you want to do with it. And what you don't realize is you're really worshiping other than me. This is what he's saying. Now he's saying this to his people. Israel and who? Judah. Watch what he goes on to say. He says, scatter your favors among foreigners under every green tree and that you have. And that you have, and that you, where am I? It's going the wrong way, huh? That's why I don't like Mac.
I got it.
Only acknowledge your gift. That you rebelled against the Lord your God and scattered your favors among foreigners under every green tree, and that you have not obeyed my what? Now listen to me very closely now. Watch what he says. You have not obeyed my voice. Stop right there and think for a moment. When the last time you heard God's voice? You can say, you can answer anytime you get ready. I'm asking the question. When's the last time you heard God's voice? See? When last time you heard it? And just because you read scripture don't mean you listen to his voice.
Right, right.
But that is one way we can hear his voice. But just because you're reading don't mean you are what? Listening. Because if you're listening, you're going to owe what? Bay. But the point I'm trying to make is they never heard God's voice without a secondary medium. Because God uses secondary mediums. He has to veil who he is because you can't handle him and I can't handle him in the pureness of his holiness. So he comes through us through imperfect vessels. He speaks through a vessel. He puts a word in the mouth of an imperfect person and he speaks to you through that mouth. Watch this now. Watch what it says. Now, I know some of y'all ain't gonna believe this. So you can leave right now. Because it ain't going to help you if you don't what? Believe it. So he says, return, O faithless children, declares the Lord, for I am your master. I will take you one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to where? Here it is. I will give you what? I will give you what? Now the reason why he's merciful and going to give him another chance is because he's getting ready to provide something for them that they had never had before. They had priests. They never had what? A shepherd.
Wow.
So God is establishing that I'm doing a new thing and I'm not going to use the priesthood or the priests because they messed all of that up. Malachi, the priest stole the tithe, not the people. So when the pastor preached about Malachi and tithing, he needs to tell you, we took the money, not the people. The preacher stole the money. See? Are you with me so far? So if he preaches Malachi and don't say that, you got to kind of back up on him. Now, wait a minute now. You're putting all this pressure on the people when it wasn't the people, it was the preacher. And the preacher started doing, the people started doing what the preacher was doing. See, the people are only going to be what the preacher is. Negative or what? Positive. Are you with me so far? And so we have to understand that. And so the preacher, if the preacher does not know his worth, he's not going to know his work. And he then is not going to know God's what? Will. So he says to Jeremiah, tell them I'm going to give them shepherds after my heart.
Wow.
Now, here's the first challenge. People who are not saved will not receive God's heart. Okay. People who are not saved are not going to respond to the heart of who? God. Listen to another thing I'm going to tell you. Human beings who are not saved don't like God. The Bible teaches, as a matter of fact, God says they hate me. They don't love me, but they what? Hate me. And the power of the cross is that Jesus died for his enemies. But love will change an enemy into a friend. Are you with me so far? Have you ever met somebody and you weren't really getting along with that person and they begin to experience you and you show them love and all of a sudden they start responding to you differently? And so now they're no longer your enemy, they're your friend. Well, we was young, we couldn't get along, we didn't like each other, but we became friends later on. Have you ever had that kind of conversation about somebody? So watch what God says here. I will give you shepherds after my own heart, and what would they do? They will feed you what? Knowledge and what?
Understanding.
Okay. Knowledge and what? So what is he suggesting? You don't know nothing and you don't understand. Yes, you have a big house. Yes, you have 2-3 cars. Yes, you sent your children to school. Yes, you have your investments. Yes, you're preparing to retire. Yes, you had a qualified, quality career. You did all of that, but you lack knowledge and understanding about the things of God. Now, the corporation you work for didn't create the universe. As a matter of fact, if you read the history, they might only be 30 years old. Might be 50 years old. They ain't been around that what? Long. So why would you listen to somebody that don't even have you at their heart? They just want to use you to make more what? And then the money you make is not even to make ends meet. Are you with me so far? But we're more committed to a 9-to-5 that's killing us than the Lord who provides life. Are you with me so far? So now he says, watch what he says. He said, I'm going to give you some shepherds after my own heart. They're going to feed you what? Knowledge and understanding. And when you have multiplied and been what? Fruitful. In the plan, in those days, declares the Lord, they shall say no more, say the ark of the what? Covenant. Watch this now. So the shepherds replaced the ark of the covenant. The ark of the covenant inhabited the presence of who? God. In the holies of where? Holies. So God says, I'm going to send you shepherds. The shepherds were men. Okay? They were. The shepherds were men. Now, there were women who prophesied in the Old Testament, but women never shepherd the people. Are you with me so far? Now, I'm just establishing this truth now. I'm not taking a position. I'm just saying what the Old Testament what says. Are you with me so far? Okay? Now, one of the reasons why women, God used women, is because he couldn't find no man. And we have that today. We have women leaders in the church who are far more efficient than men because he can't find a what? Man, and he's not going to be what? Outdone. So whenever you see a woman that's strong in leading, you got to look around and say, ain't no man. Okay? Ain't no man that God can what? Use. So then you got these weak men who pastors, and they build this whole onslaught of killing women because they're scared of the women's presence. Because a lot of times the women are better what? Preachers. Don't make me talk about it. Because I got my own church and I got somewhere to preach every Sunday. I ain't got to never come back to Houston. Are you with me so far? I'm just telling you the what? Truth. See, that's all I'm dealing with is truth. Are you with me so far? So when we have these brothers talking about, ain't no women in this, and ain't no woman with that, and ain't going to do this, ain't going to do that, go to his church and sit down in the back and listen to him. And I guarantee you, he ain't saying what? Nothing. Because he's making his whole fight about a woman. And we got all this gospel to preach. We got all this Bible to teach. We got all this stuff to go on. And he running around trying to build this case about what a woman can't do. What spirit is that? That's Adam's spirit. Because Adam was irresponsible and he lacked courage. He did not protect his woman. That's why she was out front doing what she shouldn't have been what? You say amen. Don't make me talk to these lights and answer. Lights to say amen. I mean, don't make me do that. Now, listen to me very closely now. I'm not bashing preachers because I'm one. And when you talk about one, you're talking about all of us. Okay? I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, and I'm not bashing us. I want us to be better. And it's not like I know everything. There are areas in theology that I have to come up to speed in myself. That's why I study every what? Day. And I'm learning every what? Day. And there are some positions I had 20 years ago I don't have anymore because I have more Bible in me. And I've grown beyond lack of what? Understanding. But I still have to tell the what? Truth. See? Are you following me so far? So we shouldn't be wasting time, you know. Now the scripture says shepherds. It didn't say shepherdess. Are you with me so far? It says what? Shepherds. See, that's what it says. All right. Now, it says, and I will give you. See, I will do it. You can't call one. How are you going to come together and say, us called a preacher? And you use resumes. And you use a preaching opportunity. And maybe the preacher preached his only sermon that he can really preach when he came, and he'd been preaching the same sermon for 20 years. So obviously he's going to sound like he can what? Preach. That's the measure. That's the standard. No prayer. No devotional life. No fasting. No worship. The people calling the pastor don't tithe. They don't give. So how is God going to honor what they are doing when they're treacherous like Judah and Israel? Are you with me so far? God calls and gives shepherds. God does that. Because God knows who's after his own what? Heart. Are you following me? Now, the body is supposed to confirm God's selection. But who's doing the confirmation in the body? The Holy who? Spirit. But when we lack understanding about the Holy Spirit's role, the Holy Spirit's job, the Holy Spirit's function, the gifts of the Spirit, then we're going to miss the will of who? God. Are you tracking with me? So then what we're trying to establish is that God gives who? Shepherds. He gives shepherds to feed the people knowledge and what? Under. He what? Feeds. He feeds. So I called my mother today. She's 80 years old. And she lived with me for about 7-8 years. I got tired of it, so I put her out. I did. I just put her out. I said, you know what? You got to go. So we put her in a senior citizen facility. She loves it, right? New senior citizen facility. I went out and bought all furniture for all the rooms, furniture, her place off and all of that. So I called her today. I said, Mom, did you call and get the cable? Cable done? Yes, she said, yeah, baby, it's going to come out Saturday. I like my packet, and I appreciate you so much. I said, she said, but my cell phone ain't working real good. I said, well, then call tomorrow and get a landline put in, and we're not going to worry about the cell phone. And when you're in the apartment, you use your landline. And then she broke out and started laughing. Ah! I said, what's wrong with you? I'm looking at these squirrels trying to have sex. Them to stop. This big old fat one trying to get up on that little bitty old squirrel. What's wrong with him? I said, Mama, don't be no voyeur with no squirrels. Don't be no voyeur with no what? Squirrels. She just is entertained about them squirrels as she could be. Don't let a little thing like a squirrel expose what's in your mind. We laughed about 15 minutes about it. I said, Mama, you're a voyeur. I said, now I know why I'm all messed up. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
Now, her boy is a preacher. Her boy is a shepherd. Her boy is a pastor. But we have fun. See? Not a robot. See? You know what I mean? Not a machine. You know? But God says, He's provided me because I'm after his own what?
Heart. That's right.
See? After his own what? Heart. Now, I told her, Mama, don't feed the squirrels. Because if you feed the squirrels, they're going to hang around and you're going to see some more babies coming. And I don't want to have to pray for your deliverance. So don't feed the what? Squirrels. So we don't feed squirrels, we feed people. And we hand feed them. See, he says feed. See, feed. You take that word and you put it in their mouth. See, you take that word and you stick it in their ear. You what? You feed them. Now, when you feed them, they gain what? Knowledge and what? Understanding. Now, God gives that. See, he what? He gives that. He what? He what? Gives that. He gives. He gives that. Now watch this now. Watch how important you are to him. Watch how special you are. Watch how much he loves you. He gives you somebody that's not a robot.
Wow. Wow.
That's not a machine who can identify with you because they're just like you. And he gives them to you to feed you so that you can understand more about who? Him. So that you can have more knowledge about who? Him.